Helen, Helen Larman, and you're a housewife?
Yes.
And you live on the beach?
On the beach.
Now then, could you tell me something about the first school you went to?
Well, that was St Monica's in East Medway, which, well, it was, it's now it called the Medway, but in those days it was called East Medway. It was an unmade-up road, surrounded by shingle, wasn't it, Arthur?
Yeah.
And it was really for up to 10-year-olds.
You should have been older than that, wasn't it? How old were you when you were there?
Can't remember.
Was this before the war? Before the Second
yes.
World?
Before yes.
The before the Second
this
World.
This was before the war. Mm-hmm. And Miss White ran it.
Mm-hmm. About approximately what date?
Yes, this
be?
Is what I was after. I thought it was around about 1930. It's got to be 35.
Something,
34, yes, 35.
Right, something like that. Mm.
What,
yes. That
what time mm. did you come back from South America?
Darling, that's. Don't leave that because that
this is when we were young.
No, this
when
is
the world
when we were
young
on the beach.
And you went to the same yes, school, did you, Arthur?
Yes. Yes.
So you're an old Shoreamite then, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, I think I am. I was 18 months old when I came on shore.
Well, oh, well, that's lovely.
They used to live on a houseboat.
Oh, oh no, that was much later on. Damn it.
And so what? How old roughly were you when you started out of school, do you think?
I should think about six. Seven?
Yes, it must have been.
And was it a mixed school?
Yes,
mixed school, yes. And what kind of a building was it?
It was one of the real old asbestos built bungalows.
Asbestos battened on the outside.
Yes.
The only strong thing, perhaps, the roof and the door. The door was extremely strong. But it did boast a sort of gymnasium, which was rather good.
Yes.
It had a rope which. Quite a substantial rope went up to the ceiling, and every morning you had to climb up the rope and take a couple of the hairs out of the knot at the top. That was to prove a point. You had bars, horizontal
course,
bars there, was. And
Helen lived here years ago when this was asbestos.
Oh, fancy that! Yes.
Anyway, that will come. To
yes. And what sort of subjects did you learn there?
Well, all the things that one had to learn in those days, yes.
Considering it was extremely good, because a lot of the things that I practice now, I learnt there.
Yes, yes.
It was extremely good for a kindergarten. Excuse me.
Sort of junior school. Junior,
yes.
Junior school. Yes. I mean, we even had ballet. And we had piano. I used to go to piano lessons.
That was marvellous, yes.
So they had quite a lot. And I can't
very
remember
surprising.
How many pupils there were there, though. How many were there, Arthur?
I should think somewhere in the region of maybe 30, 25 to 30.
I was thinking about that, yes. Because you learnt in those days,
yes.
Because it wasn't a great big sort of faceless place. Yeah. You really learned.
I seem to recollect that some of the girls were seemed to be much older than I, that's for sure. People like Pat Heal and one or two other names we could mention or shouldn't mention. I don't know.
All right.
Why not? No, they're not.
Well,
Sylvia Gordon, sorry.
Can you tell me a sort of a typical school day? I mean, what time did you go and that sort of thing? Can you remember? What time did you start school?
I would think it was somewhere around half past eight.
Half past eight, yes.
You had a lunch, a break in the morning. I know I used to be given a few pennies to go and get a chocolate biscuit at the little shop on the corner. And we used to have milk, that's right, a half pint of milk.
Milk, oh yes, yes.
And you used to have a play of about 10-15 minutes, I suppose, and then it went on. Till 12, half past 12, 1 o'clock or whatever.
Yes.
What time did you finish then? About half past three?
Half past three, 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
And did you have any after school activities or anything? Did you do anything?
I don't think we did. I don't think we did homework.
Didn't do prep, no.
No. And how old were you when you left that school then? What age would you be?
I don't know. I left when I was about eight or nine. Nine, I think.
I must have left about that age.
And then where did you go after that then? What school did you go to?
Well, I went for a short time to the Towers, which I hated.
That's the convent, isn't
convent.
It? I know it, yes.
I went to the Royal Naval School in London, in Twickenham.
Yes. Did you board? Or
yes, I boarded.
You boarded
yes.
there, yes. so that was a, and then
oh, Mr. Gavin,
it's all right. Did you wear special clothes for anything, you know, for games or anything like
that? You had a uniform.
Oh, you had
it was
a
school uniform. Oh, it was a green blazer with black SM woven on their pocket.
That's right,
and
yes.
Caps, the boys had little caps and
just
grey trousers and socks, I think they were grey
did
socks.
Did you wear short trousers? They used to wear short trousers.
Oh, yes.
None
of the inhabitants there were old enough to wear longs in those days.
No.
About 14 for that.
And did you have games? Did you play games? Any special subjects that you can remember?
Yes, we used to play basketball. I remember
Yes, we did. We did.
And rounders, I think, off the ball, wasn't it? We used to play that.
You've got a better memory.
Well, I only seem to recollect that. I don't remember anything of football or anything.
No, I don't think we did anything.
Tennis? Did you play tennis or anything?
No. There might have been, because it might have been the courts of the...
the great courts, when the sports club
was there. But apart from that, they didn't have tennis courts.
Oh. Now, can you give me any idea of the teaching style, discipline and that sort of thing?
It was extremely good.
It was good.
But again, children weren't, as they are now, allowed to rule the roost. They were more easy to get hold of.
We learnt.
Points.
We taught well.
Yes.
And we learnt.
Yes.
Remember?
And you had a basic grounding, really, which has never left you all
never
your life.
Never.
Exactly.
And the friends that I formed then, I...
isn't that lovely?
With Nines and Bill... Johnny Powell.
Yeah.
And one or two others that are still knocking about are people that went to school with us.
Yes, isn't that great?
And that's not bad, really.
It isn't.
Well, yesterday I met Mrs. Dear Smith, you see, over at Jones, and she was at St. Monica's, but she was older than I was, so I think she'd gone. I couldn't remember her. I remember the name.
Because John Powell's sister, Audrey, she taught there.
Yes, she did.
Audrey Powell. Yes,
so really, there was quite a bit of discipline.
Oh yes,
there
wouldn't have been any. Nobody would have stood for the sort
quite
of thing
that goes on today. No assault of the teachers and all that. Now, did you go to any kind of club or activities after school?
No.
You know, on your own, pubs or guys
or
brownies or anything like that? Did you have anything like that?
I don't think they were. There wasn't an availability in those days of those sort of things.
And
they weren't necessary.
Not from Sean, I just wondered if you had any sort of sports or extra lessons or anything like that. Now, give me an idea. It says, what were the other pupils like? I mean, you've just said locals, some was close, you formed, obviously.
I think they were all beach children.
Oh,
I think they all came from the beach, as far as I remember. As far as
Lancing, which is of course spread along with.
They've all gone on to do quite big things.
A lot of them came from very good families.
And isn't it great to think that you've still got that? Isn't it that friendship after all these years?
Yes.
I think that's lovely.
The Wilsons were very, very big in bananas, weren't they? Fife's bananas.
Oh yes, Wilsons, they were noted.
And Neddy Wilson went to the school.
Mm-hmm.
He was had two sisters, didn't he? Two sisters, Neddy Wilson.
Yes, I do. And Arthur West, what happened to him?
Well, I don't know.
Now, can you tell me something about the teachers? I mean, were they men or women? What was the ratio?
All women.
Yeah. And I mean, were they allowed to teach when they were married? I mean, or were they all single?
Oh yes,
they were.
No, there was no.
That's good.
Ban on anything.
No, they used to be. They used to have to give up so often.
Because you actually had, as I remember it, there was Miss White, a daughter, Betty White,
yes,
and Audrey Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And there was somebody else who I don't seem to remember. Wasn't Audrey's sister, was it? I seem to remember another one. But basically, they were the three.
Three teeth, yes.
Yeah, yes.
And can you remember, did they have any little eccentricities or idiosyncrasies that you can remember?
No, I only remember Miss White was... I suppose, she must have been a fairly tallish lady. She must have been 5'8" or something
She was tall.
She had grey hair and she was very upright
mm.
and had gold rimmed glasses. And always looked rather stern. She wasn't really in reality, but she always looked stern. She certainly wasn't somebody who mucked about with.
What about the headmistress? Did you
that
remember
was
that?
She was
the headmistress.
She owned the school.
She owned the school, yes.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. Now. So that's where you went to sort of infant and primary. Then secondary, you went to the convent, shall we say.
Yeah. Yes. Where did you go after?
Well, I went to Victoria Road because there are financial troubles, you see, in those days.
And then when you grew up and you started work, was it in Shoreham? Did you leave Shoreham?
No, we left Shoreham for a time.
Then.
Yes, for a time. That was just before the war. Well, we were all evacuated, you know.
Yes. Right, I understand that. And you were evacuated then, where you were?
Yes.
6 weeks to get off the Shoreham beach. Yes. My mother rang 32 different removal firms.
Yeah.
And in those days, of course, the beach was full of well-known people, theatrical people and so on. And you could see those beautiful suites of furniture being moved on coal carts and things.
Yes. Desperate.
You know, desperate, because we had to clear
the
out.
The only place we could go to was London, to my other grandmother, and we were allowed £1 technicum to take furniture from 3 bungalows.
Oh,
you can imagine how much went.
Oh.
The rest of it stayed in the bungalows, and they were all
they were
smashed
blown
up.
Yes, they were blown up.
We were lucky. This one wasn't. This was one that did survive. And the pantomime bungalow survived.
Yeah, they survived. Strangely enough.
There are... I've never really counted them up, but I think perhaps a couple of dozen bungalows on the beach survived. All the foreshore ones were blown up. Yes, because they mined the beach.
More than that, man.
Yes. And well, then how old will this one be then, if you're living in Merv?
Well, our deeds go back, way back,
about 1900.
But how wonderful that it survived.
It's amazing.
Well,
it
had a lot done to it.
Yes, but even so lucky.
At least they didn't blow it up.
No, that's what I'm thinking of, yes. And then did you get married in Shoreham, or did you marry?
No, married in London.
And what about you, Arthur? Did you get married in Shoreham?
No, I didn't get married until much later.
No. And family? Did you have any family?
No.
What about Arthur? Did you have any?
No.
And so now you've retired... Here then, you're living back down in Shoreham.
Yeah.
And you came back down to Shoreham.
Yes, after the war I came
you
back.
You came back, yes.
Came back from Italy, and my mother said, Do you want to go back to Shoreham, or do you want to stay in London? Well, the last place in the world I wanted to be was in London. So.
I think once you get attached to Shoreham, you get very attached to Shoreham,
you, I'm disappointed now with what's happened to it. I wouldn't come back now, to be quite honest.
I know. Well, this is the point of the Shoreham Society. We are a pressure group, and I know we don't do a lot, but we do our damnedest to help, to desperately to try. I mean, they're such committed people, all the people that are in it. And we do our damnedest. And we've got two councillors on our committee, Meryl Lucraft and Chris Pelling, and they really do work their butts off to, you know, try to help. The trouble is with the council, most of them don't live in Shoreham. Jolly well ought to live here, and then they'd be more sympathetic. Anyway,
yes.
So you're retired and living merrily and happily in Shoreham. That's lovely.
I don't know whether it would interest you, but my brother, who's since died, he designed his racing yacht. Actually here in the garage.
Isn't
and
really?
I've got some pictures of it, and Arthur worked on it, and Johnny Powell, he designed it, didn't he, with Bill? They drew out the sketches
Bill
on the
worked.
Floor. That
Bill
time.
Did most of the work.
But he
Let's
did
be
most
honest,
of the work.
Bill
yes.
did most
yes.
of the work. Johnny Powell designed it. He's a very, very clever designer. Mm. Went to school together, all of us, same place.
Oh, lovely. Yes, it all started there,
and,
yes.
It was built, and out the back here, in the back gardens, three tonners, and eventually to get it out, this place wasn't there. This was an open plot next door, and we got an RAF 10-ton bomb trailer, and we loaded the thing on outside here. Actually, we had to slip it across first. We had slippery ways. I don't know if you know what they are.
No, the pages don't.
Well, slippery ways they used to use for launching over in the shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a trough, two troughs actually, with two planks running down inside to make it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to sit the boat on this and you could slide it across. So you had to do that down the bottom at the back of the garden to get it onto this plot of ground at the back, and then slide it up through here and then put it across in front of this garage. And we got it out there, and I wish I remember, we'd been at it all day, and we got it out there, and a 10-ton bomb trailer is narrow. They're quite narrow. And this thing is a deep-heeled yacht. 3 tons of deep-heeled yacht. And when we got it outside here, we put these shores underneath to hold it up, and we thought, well, that'll be all right, we'll move it tomorrow and be able to tow it down and launch it. And when we took the shores away, this thing started creaking and started coming over, and so we put these things back. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we gathered all these lights, fairy lights, together and slung them all round, and we put these out and went home, went to bed, very, very disgruntled. In the morning we came and we sat out on this lawn, and Mill, Helen's mother, came out, and she gave us all coffee and biscuits at about 9-10 o'clock in the morning. We were sitting out, there was about 6 of us for this launching.
Gosh.
And we sat out there and we thought, we're going to try it or not. We did, and Bill had been given a Javelin Jowett car, which had just come into fashion then. And we towed this darn thing out along this road, the unmade road, down through and into the yard, got it into the wrong bay to begin with, had to bring it right out of the yard and take it round the other side. And we launched it, and Dolly Arliss, you know, George Arliss, they live next door here.
They live next door, yes.
And Dolly came down, and she was the launch.
She named the launch. She was an actress.
She was magnificent.
Can I just stop it, please?
Yeah. Dolly came down, and we got blocks from the yard. They're big blocks, big square blocks of wood, and we put these up in front of this boat, which was still on the bomb trailer, and we lifted Dolly up onto the top of these blocks, and we got a bottle of champagne on the bow end of this thing, and we told her, she named the boat Rattlesnake, and dropped this thing, and it didn't break, and away went the boat. We had to stop it. We pulled it back in, and we got her back up on the blocks again and pulled this bottle out and gave it to her. The next time she threw herself at it and she fell off the blocks, but she smashed this, and the boat, it must have had a charmed beginning, I think, as well as a charmed life, because it's still with us. The boat, as it, before it actually hit the water and floated, the cradle broke on it and the boat went over on its side. It dropped about 3 feet flat down, and we thought, oh God, and it slewed out and it came up floating in this rippled water, sitting there. It was magnificent, actually. Paddy Gray, my other friend, was there. That's Monsieur Eddie Gray's,
yes,
not his, son by the first marriage.
Yes, yes.
Paddy was down there as well, and he had the neck of that bottle. I think he's still got it.
I love this story.
Well, dear Dolly, she was wonderful.
Yes.
She really was.
Yeah. Now, what about, you didn't belong to any youth organisations then at all?
Not really, no.
No, no. And then for leisure, what, because they like very much to know the sort of things. I mean, you went for walks, country walks and things,
yes,
did you?
On the downs
to ride.
A lot.
I used to ride.
Oh, yes, that was lovely.
Yes, we cycled a lot.
Yes,
we
well, in those days you could, couldn't you?
Well, we were racing as well. We used to cycle up to London, cycle up to a downhill.
Yeah.
People don't realise how magnificent racing bikes were just before the war.
Really?
They were magnificent.
Imagine,
they were magnificent bikes.
Yeah, yes.
Alloy.
Yes, yes. And how long did it take you to get up to London then?
Who's counting? I mean,
yes.
We go up for the day, we cycle up there, and we go to Herne Hill to watch the racing, and then cycle back.
Imagine doing that today.
Mm. marvellous.
You didn't have the traffic on the roads, no, but the roads weren't very good.
No, but still, it's a pretty good achievement. And then did you have Saturday morning pictures or anything like that?
Yeah. Yes. Matinees.
The old Colosseum in Shoreham, do you remember?
Whereabouts was that then? The
Colosseum was down by... it became Derry Pumps. You know where the Kremlin is? Oh, sorry, not the Kremlin. The council offices are.
Yeah.
That little peak of land running out, yes, the green piece.
Yes, I know.
Well, where the Kremlin actually is was the Colosseum.
Colosseum.
Of course, it was gas lit.
Yes.
We all used to sit in the background, eat popcorn, and snooker.
And you mentioned cycling, and you had picnics. I expect you to go a lot of picnics.
Yes, we used to have picnics.
Yes.
Yes, we used to.
And of course, you were free to go out.
Yes. As children,
you weren't restricted as they are today.
We used to go. Bill and I used to go fishing. Yes. Don't laugh, with a bent pin over on the airport in the Brooks.
Yes.
Because there was nothing around then. It was lovely.
Yes.
Absolutely lovely.
And you didn't have the fear that there is today.
No.
I mean, today.
Well, the bungalows were left open. The doors were left open. Everybody
knew.
Nobody home. It didn't make any difference.
No.
You left the money for the tradesman on the sideboard, and he'd come in and take it.
Yes. And did you have deliveries in those days?
Oh, yes.
Because I couldn't.
Oh, yes.
You did.
Yes.
We did.
Greengrocers, bakers, milkmen.
Yes.
There's a character for you.
And the old Eldorado ice cream man and the tricycle.
Walls ice cream.
Gosh.
Walls.
Yes.
Yep.
And so when you went to work then, I mean, you didn't work in Shoreham, you'd moved away by then. And you'd moved away then, hadn't you, Arthur?
No, I started work here.
Oh, could you tell me something about that then?
Well, I went into a boat building over on...
Did you?
Here, which was next door to the Sussex Yacht Works.
Yes,
was built in 1937, so that gives you the date of that one.
Gosh,
that's where it was built,
1937.
And I was working in the little yard next to it, Turner. He had a big old First World War ML that he used to keep at Cuckoo's Corner. You know at Cuckoo's?
Yes, I do. I know.
In that little bay out there, that's where he had his ML.
Oh, interesting.
And when he bought this place, they brought the ML down and they knocked a hole in the bottom of it, filled it up with rocks and made the jetty out of it. And I was in there. We were building fishing boats, what they called quarter boats in those days.
Yes.
That's anything up to 15 feet.
Yes. And so the catch was brought into Shoreham, was it? Did they fish?
We used to build a boat.
Yes, but I mean, did they have...
It
was. And you could get fresh fish in those days. Beautiful fresh fish.
These were, you had the Lakers and the Pages were the two
fishing families.
Shoreham fishing families
Lakers
that really
and the
fished off here.
Yes.
They were sane boats. They had a roll on the transom.
No, I don't know. I'm dead ignorant.
That's the style.
The style. Sane boat. How would you spell that?
S-E-I-N-E.
Like the river.
And
like
the river.
They used to start out, row straight out off the beach, feeding the net out, which was held to the shore.
Yes.
In a big loop right the way round, and then it was pulled up with all the holiday makers used to come down and help pull up, and they'd get a couple of mackerel for their pains or whatever.
And it'd be beautifully fresh, wouldn't it?
Remember when, not all that long ago, like 10 years ago, the shoals of mackerel used to come along you could wade in with a bucket, a plastic bucket.
Just pick up
just
the fish.
Get a bucket full of fresh mackerel.
They used to sit up at the top of Ferry Road. That's where the boats used to be kept on up this end. I forget which beach it was now.
Mm.
One was called Baron Court, wasn't there, up there? One of the boats. That one at the top of Ferry Road, I can still see them now sitting there, leaning against their transoms of the boats, looking out to sea and wondering into those ripples, etc.
Yes.
And then off they used to go.
Wonderful.
Housing. I mean, you obviously lived in private houses. Now, were there any council houses on the beach at all?
No,
none at all.
A lot of bungalows for rent.
Ah, for rent. They were, Yes, this is going back before the Second World War. Mm-hmm. Now, what about after the war? Were there still bungalows for rent then?
No, because there weren't many bungalows left.
Of course not.
The
whole
of the beach was not a flat.
Quite.
With just a few exceptions.
And so were there any new roads made then after the war? Because there's been a lot of building, hasn't
no,
there?
No, not for a long time.
Not for a long time. No.
And then gradually a lot of these bungalows started getting built.
Yes, over here.
And
yes.
I think that's when the mafia descended on this. West Sussex County Council sent a man called Benny along, if you remember, who acquired all these plots of land that had accumulated where people weren't found, and who thought, well, the bungalow's gone, I don't own anything anymore. But a lot of them had freehold and leasehold, and they were after the freehold.
And then they started on the outside of the road.
But they were never supposed to build a
lot
two-story
of them on the outside
on
the
of the road.
Shore.
They were never supposed originally. To. Look at it now.
A lot of them were freehold.
It was all supposed to be one
freehold
story.
Freehold and leasehold.
Oh, it's
a yes, but there were quite a few that were leasehold. And
yes.
And were offered the freehold. I mean, they didn't want the freehold.
No, they were trying to buy. They were trying to buy the ground. This is what they were after, and they were offering. Well, we got for one of the bungalows we used to have was Shingle Rise. I don't know if you remember Shingle Rise. But you know, at the bottom of Ferry Road on the left hand side, which would be opposite the Tudor, if you like. Here I go again. I'm going way back. There used to be Eli and Aitons, the estate agents, on the corner. Well, just beyond that, before you got to my grandfather's club, the big club.
What was that called?
That was Arthur's Beach Club.
Arthur's Beach Club. And that was down there.
And there were two bungalows there. One we lived in, which was called Sorrento, which was nearest to the club. And the other one was Shingle Rise, which my grandmother and grandfather lived in. They were on the stage. And that piece of property was pulled down, and after the war we were given 1 9 pence for the ground. It had 20 years lease to run on it.
There's some very nasty taste
into your mouth.
Yes,
when you go back.
I bet it does.
There's an awful lot of the Shoreham Mafia associated with this thing.
Yes, well, I'll tell you something about Hornbush after when we've finished this. Join the Shoreham Society. But anyway, now we're going to come to health. What about care when you were young? I mean, did you have clinics and checkups and all sorts of things you have today?
No, we had Dr. Van der Becken. Do you remember him? Was in New Road. In a little surgery there, and you went in, you paid about half a crown, didn't you, if you wanted to see the doctor?
Yes, it may have been a wee bit more.
And you got jolly good care. Yeah. I mean, the doctors in those days, they'd set your ankle if you broke it, they'd lob spoils, they'd do all sorts of things. Take your tonsils out on the kitchen table.
Personal.
It was very personal, wasn't it? And he was a marvellous old doctor.
They were extremely good.
They were good. They were good.
And what do you have now? Do you have a health clinic on the beach?
No.
You have to go to the mainland, do you?
You have to go ashore.
And unfortunately, there's not even a chemist on the beach. And that's the one thing I wish we had.
I didn't realise.
But at least you've got a butcher's. We haven't in the town.
No, there isn't one.
Dewhurst has gone now.
They've all gone.
You live on the town, on the beach, on the mainland, do you?
Yes.
Well, now, what about hospitals in those days? What was your nearest hospital?
Southlands.
That's still been
going. And it was the old workhouse, actually. And in those days, there were only about 4 wards, I think, of the old buildings. And that was all. But then, of course, there weren't the number of people.
Then you had the family concept, didn't you, in those days?
Your doctor did so much for you. He would do all sorts of things. Lance, if you had poisoning, I remember being poisoned badly over in the shipyard. And going over to the doctor, and this was Riddle I went to. He brought out a can. I'm talking now when I was, 16 years old. And I was sitting there, and this thing had gone right up the arm, the red bumps under the armpit. And he looked at it, and he brewed up some weapons and came back to me. And he He didn't give me an injection or anything. He got this can. It was a tallish can, about 6 inches, with a spout on it. Looked as if it was stainless steel or something like that. Mm. And it had a, rather like a grease gun, and a pressure lever at the back. And he sprayed my hand, and it went instantly dead. And he took a scalpel out, and he ran it down like that, and it went straight through to the bone, and all this rubbish came out, and he wrapped it up, put it in a sling, and he said, if you'd come tomorrow, I'd have had to bury you, I think. So, I mean, this is an ordinary
GP. And he's still going strong, Dr. Riddle.
I know,
wonderful man.
He must be 90.
He hasn't got any weight to carry about. He's your sort of build, lovely and light.
He's small.
Yes,
that's around, ask him what was in that
can. If I see him, I will.
Interested. Yes.
And so you didn't have clinics or anything?
No,
not at all. And then, of course, wartime, you were both evacuated, you both left the Reeds. Yeah. You went to London and you went away. So that, and rationing, what about after the war with rationing? What was that like down here? Was it fairly easy, or...?
Yeah, I think rationing was generally... It was bad, because it went on until about 48, didn't it?
But it went on quite... Yes. I can remember. I can remember rationing. Yes, I can remember it.
And, I mean, we got very little.
Yes.
There was an awful good black market flourishing.
Mm. You didn't do any sort of bartering, because that's...
Yes.
You grow this, and I'll do that.
Bartering, yes, they did.
That was a hell of a good enterprise. Now we come to transport. Now, you've mentioned you were a great cycling fan. What about cars, buses, trains?
Not very, very few. Buses, yes.
What about the beach? What transport did you have on the beach? Public
transport.
We
didn't have any, because the roads were unmade. You've got to remember.
See, they were unmade roads.
Yes.
I mean, they were just rough roads and potholes and things.
So what did you do when you wanted to get anywhere?
Walk.
Gosh.
Walk.
But right to the mainland, then, you had to walk.
You had to walk.
So did you have the footbridge, then? Was the footbridge there?
Yes, the footbridge was there, because when we were kids, you had to pay a penny toll to go through the turnstile.
But it's still a fair way to walk, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then you caught buses and trains from the mainland.
Yeah. There was a good South Down bus service on the mainland.
Always. There was it's not good. Like it is now.
No.
It was good.
Yeah. It was
two,
good.
No
then.
Two ways about it.
Yes.
Trains were good too. They were very regular, regardless of what people say about dirty, stinking steam engines. They were wonderful.
Nothing like it.
Especially bring back the old Stenning Flyer that used to go through that.
I've seen pictures of it.
Wonderful, wonderful, lovely day. You try and get the Horsham now. See how long it takes.
Ridiculous,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
And they want to cut them even more.
I know.
This is ridiculous.
Well, I think you've given me a very excellent picture, and thank you very much, because that's going to be very helpful now. Poor old David's got to type it all out.
Oh, well.
He does it. I don't.
Andy, there's heaps more we could tell you.
There is loads.
So, I mean, like Silver Sands, where we all used to play.
Where's that? Tell me where.
Well, if you go right up Elford Road and round, where do you know where the Harbour Club is?
Yes, at the end of the road here.
Yes, well, the all Fort road between the river. It was all, there wasn't Tarbor Way or anything. It was all empty and lovely.
Lovely.
And we used to play there as children. It was super. I mean,
we used to have a thick, beautiful, thick, spongy turf.
Yes.
When you walked on it, it sprung. And when you lay down in the summer very often up there, I have many a time lay down there. There were these lovely gorse bushes.
Beautiful
big gorse bushes, and one or two remains of what must have been very, very substantial buildings at the time. They were very thick walls, flint walls, that were right down to about so high, and pieces that had grass and
yes. What do you think they date from then?
I honestly haven't a clue.
No.
I should imagine actually that there was fishing communities around that area.
Yes, there could be, because
but
it's
you used to smell this
old.
Lovely wild garlic. Beautiful. Used to be over there, and it was
beautiful.
And the sand, the silver sand where it got its name from, went all the way through, and it was the finest silver sand you can imagine.
Yes.
It was beautiful up there.
Now it's under concrete.
Yes.
It's heartbreaking, really, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Oh, when I came back, because I was away, and then I married and was in London. When I came back and I saw Harbour Way, I couldn't believe it.
You saw such a difference.
Believe it.
Yes.
I could have wept.
Now, when you came back then, were all these houses abutting on the beach, were they built there?
Yes, they were. Because I was away for a long time.
Yes, yes. So
there.
When were these houses, when did they all go up?
Well, they were built...
Is that the one with the one with the copper roof? Is it the one at the end here? Because that was one of the first to get license after the war. Because again, you had this there was a clanny thing going on about who could design the bungalows that went onto this beach, and they locked down on certain people, and that was one of the first to crop up. It's got a copper roof, if I'm not mistaken. And that was a lot of bare ground right the way through here then. And
lovely.
Gradually these bigger places started sprouting up.
The Lido was there, I think.
Sorry?
The Lido.
The Lido was down there, yeah.
What was the Lido then? Was that
the Lido was, that was before the war.
Yes, and what was that?
Well, it was a... it ran off to the left of... Ferry Road. If you know where Ferry Road
is,
it's
straight up the top. Yes, the one I came
on. So the left-hand side of that, they built this concrete mass. Went down in big steps down the front end of it, with stanchions, big stanchions along the top. And they had all the beach huts used to be in there originally, and then they had a cafe, a big cafe there.
Gosh.
And you went beyond that to Pavlova, which was this is Mrs. Gray. You want to get on to Mrs.
Gray? Yes, I expect somebody will.
Line.
Her
people had the Pavlova and what's the name of the other one? I'm called the Loftuses. This is Mari Loftus and Cecilia Loftus. Were all congregated on that point. There was a massive, great big car park. It was. Lido. It was very good, actually.
And when was it pulled down then? Was it blown up with the war?
Yeah, what have we got there? I forget what happened to it. Something happened down there. They started building on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was later. That was around about the 60s, I think, that started disappearing.
Did it? Yes. And then the shops in Ferry Road then?
The shops are there. They've always been there.
Yes, and then that vast block of flats, Atlantic Court, that goes up.
Oh, that monstrosity.
That was after the war.
Yeah, they had so much trouble building
my mother,
foundations.
Yes, they did. Because, of course, we're all on a shingle bank, you see.
Yes. I understand you float.
Yeah.
You have a concrete base and you can...
Yeah,
we're on actual railway sleepers. This
you really are,
If you took this up and looked down, there's a shingle. From the railway sleepers. Because it keeps beautifully dry.
Yeah.
Yes.
But my mother was on the Shoreham beach residence lot, and they hired a barrister and everything to fight those flats being put up, but of course money again they lost, and they were never supposed to be go above two stories, and what are they, they're three or four.
You got away with it.
You know, you can't fight the bureaucrats.
But